Well, if you're visiting and you haven't been here the last several weeks, we're going through a five-week series on the book of James. And so this is week four of the five-part series. If you don't know much about the book of James, it's kind of a straightforward, to-the-point book about life as a Christian. So if you read through James, you want to know, okay, what's it look like to have a life as a Christian? James just gets right to the point and hits a bunch of facets of that. Now, there's kind of an assumption he's writing to an audience who are Christians. There's an assumption that who he's writing to has chosen to be a Christian and that they remember the value of being a Christian. They know why they chose to follow Jesus. They remember God's mercy. They remember what it's like to be freed of the burden of sin. They remember that in their trials they have hope and they have help from God. And so that backdrop is kind of assumed. And depending on where you are, if you're not a Christian, study the Bible. Look into it. It's a great thing to be a Christian. If you are one, let's remember some things that James was trying to help the Christians in the first century remember. Amen?
Amen.
So here's the first three chapters. These are some of the things that got straight to the point that James was talking about. We all have trials. Do we address our trials through God's lens or through a lens of anything else?
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of talk about seeing it with God in mind. Having faith and deeds that work together. It's one thing to say, I claim to be a Christian. It's another to have a life that looks like Christ.
Yeah.
And so we want to have both. We do want to claim to be a Christian, but we also want to have a life that matches the claim. And so James talked about that. Last week we talked about watching our language. What we say, how we say it matters. We can have words that heal, or we can have words that hurt. And we want to be a people that have words that heal. So then we're on to chapter 4. Three things we're going to talk about today. We're going to test our friendships. So we're going to talk about that, testing your friendships, taking your friend, at this point, God to the spa. So we'll talk about what that means. And doing the good that you know you should.
Yeah.
So those are all fresh out of James 4 that we're going to look at. So flip on over to James 4. And some of what we're going to look at, the first point here, it's a pretty hard-hitting kind of sobering concept that we all have to wrestle with, and it has to do with our friendships. You know, this meme here, parents notice fake friends before kids do.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a parent and you've got somebody hanging out with your kid and you know that kid's got ulterior motives, you catch on to that quicker than your kid does, right?
Yeah.
Well, God catches on quicker when we choose our friends poorly. He knows that sooner than we do, but he's trying to help us out here in James 4 to kind of see it right. There are fake friends. What's a fake friend? It's a friend who basically doesn't care about your best interest. They only care about themselves. You know, when it comes to God and Satan, God is a friend that cares about you and your best interest. Satan wants to be your friend because of what he wants. He doesn't care a thing about you.
Yeah.
And we gotta test our friendships this morning and make sure we're not letting ourselves become a friend. We don't want to accept a friend request from the world. And the world is always sending that request.
Yeah.
So James chapter 4, starting in verse 1.
Come on, Nick.
What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight, you do not have because you don't ask God. And when you ask, you don't get what you asked for because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. That's a pretty straightforward, kind of hard-hitting little four verses right there. And it really begs the question for us to ask, where's our friendships spiritually? Who are we a friend of? Go to the next. Here's some friend of the world risk factors. We don't want to be a friend of the world if we want to be a friend of God. They don't go together. God says, inspired through James, that if you're a friend of the world, then you're what? You're an enemy of God. See, they don't work together. You can't have both those friends. You have to choose. What are our risk factors from the first three verses about friends of the world? Do you fight and quarrel a lot with other people? If you're, in other words, your relationships, what are the relationships with other people look like? If your relationships with other people are full of strife and difficulty and attitude, unforgiveness, you got things you're holding against somebody, you got grudges you won't lay down, critical spirit, there's a lot of strife in relationships with people, then you're at risk for being a friend of the world. Self-centeredness, self-indulgence. You know, even here, James talked about, we can even pray, and in our prayers we give ourselves away because we pray for things that we want so we can spend them on our own self-indulgence. And God says, and I'm not answering that prayer, and you wonder why. Consumed with the me, my agenda. Now, we wouldn't say any of those things, but is that what it looks like? Does God get a second place? Is it difficult for you to make it to church on Sunday and on Wednesday? Because the world has so many other things pulling you over there. Giving. Financially, we take up a collection. If you're a Christian, you know, God talks about giving back to God. Is it difficult to give? Do you forget about it? Is it not important to you? Do you give every week? Do you not give at all? Do you give whatever's in your pocket? Do you plan ahead? How does that look? Do you reach out? Do you share the good news? Do you sit in the sauna or steam room and say, you know, I really should, but... And we all have done some of these things, haven't we? Not Jay, not last week. Good for Jay. Risk factors. Are we a friend of the world?
Yeah.
Have we accepted that friend request? It's easy. It's easy to be a friend of the world. Sometimes we become friends with the world and we're not paying attention. We don't even realize it. But these are some risk factors that can help us see if we've allowed ourselves to pick up this friend who's in opposition to God. How does God feel about us having the world as a friend? Let's go back and reread verse 4 and add to it verse 5. You adulterous people. See, this is written to Christians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
James says, here's how God feels when we, his children, are friends of the world. He feels like we've committed adultery against him. That's pretty cutting. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Don't you know that? Haven't you figured that out? Have you been around God and His Word enough to have put those two things together? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely?
Yeah.
What does that mean? It means God is not about a relationship with you and I where He's going to share us with the world.
Well.
So, that sounds kind of, you know, exclusive. Yep. God's saying you can't have both. You can't have me and the world. I'm not going to be a friend like that. You can be a friend to me, or you can be a friend of the world, but you can't have it both ways. Go to the next slide. See this guy on the couch? He's got a girlfriend with her arm around him, but then he's also got his hand behind the couch having a side fling with this other person. God says, I'm not going to be like that.
No.
Yeah. I'm not going to be in a relationship like that. You can't have it both ways. You know, you think about people that get married. And when they get married, and they say their vows, and usually in the vows is forsaking all others.
Right?
Right? If you get somebody, you know, if Dee and I, we got married, we said our vows, and if I started, going out with one of my high school girlfriends again, and then Dee's like, well, what are you doing? What are you doing tonight? I'm gonna go hang out. I got a date with one of my high school girlfriends. What? What happened to forsaking all others? Oh, you were serious about that? I thought you were joking. That wouldn't fly, now would it? Now, the good news is my high school girlfriend was deep. And so, you know, so in a sense, I got a loophole there where it actually works okay. The point being, you can't do both. You can't have this situation with God. God says, I don't accept this any more than a spouse would accept their spouse having a fling on the side. It does not work. You can be a friend of the world, or you can be a friend to God. But you can't be both. And that's what James is talking about. He's talking to Christians. He's saying, look, you got to snap out of it. Because some of them obviously became friends with the world and still were claiming to be a Christian. And so James is trying to snap them out of it. What are you thinking? Did you forget that God's not going to live with that? He's not going to put up with it? Did you forget in your vows when you said Jesus is Lord that meant the world is not part of this situation? Right? It's kind of intense. I've been thinking about this week and praying about it. I've been thinking, you know, when am I tempted to have coffee with the world? In what areas of my life am I tempted to, you know, go grab a Coke at McDonald's with my friend the world? I thought, you know, my selfishness wants to have coffee a lot. Hey, Nick, let's go grab some coffee. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about your agenda. Let's talk about what you need. Let's talk about putting you up there, get you up to the top of the list. And God's kind of taking some of the resources here. Why don't we share? Why don't it be you and God co-being at the top?
Wow.
It's a temptation that I feel. And if I say yes to that, I'm accepting a friendship with the world. I'm not going to accept that friendship. I'm tempted to have coffee with that guy. But I don't want that. I want to be a friend of God. I want to say yes to God's friend request. And I know when I do that, I'm saying no to something. Mm-hmm. But what am I saying no to? I'm saying no to the world. What does the world really offer me? The world, Satan offers sin. He dresses it up, puts some nice clothes on it, and says, hey, get involved in sin. It'll be awesome. And there is a little bit of upside to sin usually, or else we wouldn't do it. But then there's the guilt and the feeling bad and the shame and the disconnect with God and the disconnect with other people.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't talk about all that stuff. Right? How are you doing in your friendships? How are you doing at being a friend to God and not a friend to the world? How much of a battle is that for you? You know, if you feel this morning like, you know what? I've done some of this, or I'm doing some of this, then what do you do? Well, you repent. Pretty simple. Go to the next. You know, if you've been a friend of the world, then it's time to repent. It's time to say no to that fake friend. It's time to unfriend him on Facebook. Stop following the world on Instagram. Delete the phone number from your phone. You know, it's time to say, what would you do if you had a friend that was bad for you? You cut the friend out. When you realize this is a bad friend for me, well then stop being a friend to that person. It's not that hard. It's a decision. That's what repentance is. It's a decision. Yeah. I'm going to decide to repent. I'm going to decide not to be a friend of the world. I'm going to decide to say no to the friend request and just keep saying no, block the number. I'm not talking to that person anymore. Right. We draw a boundary. This person is not helping me. The world is not helping me. I'm going to draw a boundary and they stay over there and me and God stay over here.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So if you're going to repent, you know, sometimes it's not bad to say, I'm sorry. You know, I got a little I'm sorry video for you. I'll have that pulled over. Now this isn't the way we want to say I'm sorry to God, but it'll give us an idea.
Fine, okay, fine. But I gotta say, technically, I didn't even do anything wrong.
What? You didn't do anything wrong?
I said I didn't technically.
Okay, well, let's put aside the fact that you accidentally picked up my grandmother's ring and you accidentally proposed to Rachel.
Can I just stop you right there for a second? When people do this, I don't really know what that means. You were saying?
And I can even understand that you couldn't tell Rachel, but why couldn't you tell me? Huh? You had all day to, and you didn't.
I know, I should have. I'm sorry.
Not using it right, Joe. I'm gonna go.
No, come on, look, Ross, we have to get past this.
Give me the bag.
No, look, I don't know what else to do. I said I'm sorry.
Joey?
Now you should scream at me or curse me or hit me.
I'm not gonna hit you.
Why not? You'll feel better. I'll feel better. And you know you want to? I can see it in your eyes.
No, I don't.
A little bit.
No.
A little bit.
No.
A little bit more.
Okay.
No, hit me.
Give me the bag.
Hit me.
Joey, give me the bag.
Hit me.
Joe,
hit
I'm
me.
Not kidding.
Hit me.
No.
Hit me, hit me, hit me, hit me.
You ducked! I'm sorry, it was a reflex. Oh my God, this really hurts. I couldn't help it.
When a fist comes at your face, you duck.
Look. Talk about this on the way to the hospital.
Good, good. Yeah, maybe while we're there, they can check your reflexes.
Oops.
This is not the way you say you're sorry to God, okay? You certainly don't want to say to God, hit me, hit me, hit me, because if he hits you, you're done. Okay? If we're being a friend of the world, we need to repent. You know, Joey's like, I don't know what else to do. I said I'm sorry. You know, hit me. He's trying to find a way to fix the relationship. What do we do as Christians or wannabe Christians, wherever we are? We repent. That's what we do. There's not a mystery. We don't have to come up with what to do. God has told us what to do. Say no to that friend. And walk in the light with Jesus. Amen. Number two. So let's repent of being a friend of the world if that's where we've been, if that's where we are. And then let's take our friend. You know, if you got a friend, you have spa day sometimes. I never have, but let's just say that's who you are. You know, you can have a spa day with your friend. Let's take God to the spa. S-P-A, submit yourself to God, purify your heart, and align yourself with God Let's read the next set of verses here, chapter 4, verse 6, and we'll see these things come to light. James started with not being a friend of the world, making sure people really understand, the Christians understand that that just can't be. You can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God. And so if they're digesting that, then what do you do with that information? But God gives us more grace. Thank God that we got grace. That's why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers, don't slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. So in the next set of verses, we see, here's some of the, this is what repentance looks like. You know, these are to submit ourselves to God. What does that mean? It means it's not all about me. It's not all about you. If you submit yourself, if you humble yourself to God, you're saying basically, I am recognizing it's not all about me. It's about somebody else. It's about God. I'm getting myself off of the seat of, you know, of kingship. I'm getting off and I'm letting God sit there instead. I'm going to submit myself to God. I'm going to humble myself to God. Let him be in charge. Purify your hearts. Repent. Fight sin. Don't be complacent. Don't say it's okay. Don't get lulled to sleep and be a friend of the world. Stay in the battle. Be vigilant and alert, you know? I'm gonna go after the sin that's always tempting me, and I'm going to keep saying no, and I'm going to keep fighting, and I'm never going to be okay with it. Because it caused Jesus to die. And that means something to me. Purify your heart. Don't slander. Don't judge. Forgive. Align yourself with God. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. You know, I don't know if you ever just stopped to think about that. God's saying, I want you to come near to me. He's inviting us to come near. He desires us to come near. It's not like God's up there saying, you know, I'm indifferent about it. He's not indifferent about it. He wants us to be close. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to be in his house. He wants us to walk with him. He wants to be with us. He wants to shower his love on us. Yeah. He wants us to be tight. He's saying, come on. Come in. Come over. Be with me. And as we choose to come in, we got to resist the devil. We got to say no to the world. And you know what's great? There's a promise there. If you resist the devil, what will he do? He will flee. He'll leave.
Yep.
If you resist him, if you come and you come over and you live in God's house, he doesn't want part of God's house.
Right.
He can't be in God's presence. If we come near to God, he will flee.
Yeah.
Closer we are to God, the better we'll do at battling our sinful nature. Align yourself with God. Let's have a spa day with God every day, where we submit and we purify and we align our hearts and our minds with God every day. That would be an awesome day. And then lastly, James chapter 4. Here's Abraham Lincoln quote. When I do good, I feel good. When I do bad, I feel bad. That's my religion. Interesting. James chapter 4, verse 13. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we're going to go do this, or we're going to go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Well, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What's your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You know, we don't know how much time we got. Many of us know Joe Briggy, who passed away in his early 20s. Highly unexpected. It was a shocking thing. Nobody saw that coming. We don't know what kind of time we have. So with the time we do have, let's spend it with God. Verse 17, anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Do the good you know you should. Pretty simple. If you know the good you ought to do, then do it. Do it today. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Let's do the good we should do today. Let's do as much good as we can today. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I think we all think we got lots of tomorrows. And maybe we do. Or maybe we don't. Right. Let's do the good we should today. Yeah. We're going to shift gears here in a minute, and we're going to pass the trays for communion. Before we do that, I want to read another verse here in John 15. You know, we're talking about us and God, us and the world. John 15, verse 18. This is when Jesus walked the earth. Jesus was speaking. As we get ready to take the Lord's Supper here, Jesus says, if the world hates you, keep in mind, it hated me first. See, the world and Jesus, they never got along, right? Jesus saying, you know, God saying, you know, don't be a friend of the world. If you do, you're an enemy of mine. And Jesus, when he walked the earth, he's like, we hate each other. Me and the world, we don't get along. We got completely different agendas. There's no reconciling that relationship. If you belong to the world, he's talking to his followers, it would love you as its own. As it is, you don't belong to the world. I have chosen you out of the world, and that's why the world hates you too. As we take communion this morning, let's think about this reality. The world and Jesus hated each other because they had completely different agendas. If we're going to be a Christian, the world's going to hate us too. Don't try to be a friend of the world. It hates you if you're like Christ. Don't try to be a friend there. It won't work. And we shouldn't want it anyway. Jesus chose to come down and take the hit for us, to be hated by the world, to open the door for us to be his friend. That's a blessing that we'll never be able to repay. It's a blessing that I don't think we'll ever be able to fully appreciate. But I know I'm glad that we have the opportunity. So Dennis is going to come say a prayer for us, and we'll pass the trays for communion.
Father, Dad, the great one, thank you.